And a very good Monday afternoon to you here, November 27th. Welcome in to the Lowdown. I'm Damian Barling, along with the excellence of execution, one Jason H.W. Ross.
Welcome back.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Happy to be here. I missed you.
I missed you, too.
I go Jason stir crazy when we're...
Well, it's good to have you back.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I'm happy to be back. You guys created an app while I was gone. That's good stuff. We did away with the old radio.com stuff, and now we got a KHDK app. You can download it from whatever app store you have there on your phone. Just search KHDK. You can listen to us and the other shows here on the station that you don't like nearly as much as ours, but you can listen to those well, including Jim Rome. So download that. I know a lot of you are accustomed to radio.com. I think we're still on TuneIn, but we've gone away from radio.com, so they said, hey, we'll create a whole new app for you, and archives of the show are there and all of that good stuff. So download KHDK, the app there from your app store, and take us with you everywhere.
There's an app for that.
Finally, there's an app for the Lowdown.
Yeah.
It's about time. Interesting week in the NFL. College football really overshadowed the NFL this weekend.
For good and for bad.
There's a lot of bad coming out of Knoxville, Tennessee, man, and it is it's so embarrassing. Like, I'm embarrassed for that university. I'm embarrassed for that city of Knoxville. I'm embarrassed for all of those people who were marching the streets yesterday. I'm embarrassed that they desecrated the Rock. If you saw that picture on social media, I think it said Greg Schiano defends child rape, or Greg Schiano, and that you wrote that on the Rock. You wrote that on the same Rock that you praised Pat Summitt on. You wrote that on the same Rock that you scribbled national champions on after Philip Fulmer won a title with T. Martin, when Peyton Manning went into the Hall of Fame. You desecrated that Rock with that? Come on, man. We'll get into that in the 1 o'clock hour. Much happier news. Sumlin is out. There is so much to get into. Your boy, he is officially, as of today, your boy, the Chipper.
Is he?
Come on, man.
Is he?
Your boy.
He is the coach of UCLA, yes.
I was expecting. I got to be honest. I came in. I was expecting blue and yellow gold balloons all around. I thought this would be. You don't seem happy. There it is. There's the Bruins. All right.
But I will say the
is that shirt tucked in that you got there under there? Is it tucked in?
Is it not proper? I don't know. It's over another shirt,
okay.
So the other shirt's not tucked in.
That's fair. At least it's not a jersey.
No. Last week I needed your help because I was getting sick with the rumors. Chip was one, but the other two main names that were coming out were Jeff Fisher and Lane Kiffin, and I thought, are they trolling me? Like, is this someone writing this just to get at me? I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on here?
Would you not have been pleased with a Lane Kiffin hire?
That one actually, of all of them, was...
Jeff Fisher, I can understand you wanting Fisher, to throw your face through a glass window.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Let me throw my face through a glass window.
It seems like a logical reaction to Jeff Fisher being hired as the coach of your team.
Yeah, Lane was actually remotely intriguing, but I didn't think it was very serious. And then Chip was the rumor galore, and he's the guy.
We've said for, you know, the year and some change, the existence of this show, Chip fits. Because when I left you, Chip was hot and heavy with Florida.
Right.
And they went a different direction. But, yeah, things were hot and heavy with Chip in Florida. And I was like, I don't like it. I don't like Chip in the SEC. Yeah. It doesn't fit. Like, Chip fits in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm more excited than you are. I love
it. You probably are. And I know, well, I will say this. When the Lakers were here Wednesday, the Lakers radio play-by-play voice guy is John Ireland. Really good radio guy, but he's from there, and he went to UCLA. And I just said, hey, do you have any – what do you know? What do you know about UCLA? And he said, look at my text. And he showed me a text thread that he had from somebody. He said the person told him Chip Kelly will be UCLA's head coach. His response was, how sure are you? He said, 1,000% there'll be a press conference on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how it will be formally announced on Saturday.
The great thing when I brought Chip Kelly up to Jason, I think it was Monday.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I said, he's going to UCLA. And Jason's response was, well, he's interviewing in Florida. So,
yeah. I was hanging on to all hope. Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot more than you do. I like this hire. Because it's in his wheelhouse. It's what he was great at. He was very, very good at Auburn. Hell, he was great at Oregon.
Yeah.
And I think it fits.
Can I tell you what I don't like?
You should.
Well, he left Oregon under sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
He two quick stops in the NFL. I'm not going to fully evaluate that, but I feel like
show causes up though. I just want to point that out.
What's that?
Show causes up, so no sanctions for
okay.
UCLA.
And then apparently, and I've read as much as I can about this, and whether it's he doesn't like recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Pretty important. And now his name and the school may get him players. I don't know. There's just a couple of red flags for me. And if he wins, I'm not going to care at all. But at the moment, I'm not in love with it. But I don't have an alternative. I don't have someone to say, they should have hired this person.
Lane Kiffin would have been interesting.
He would have been interesting.
Lane Kiffin would have been really interesting. I love the hire. Yeah, we'll talk more about that at 1 o'clock. We'll talk more about Chip at UCLA. As we mentioned, Kevin Sumlin is out at Texas A&M. His bank account's going to do just fine. $60 million in coaches' payouts
go away.
Yeah,
yeah,
were kind of thrown into action here this past weekend. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into the mess that is in Knoxville, the embarrassment that is the University of Tennessee. Auburn beat Bama, Stanford beat Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys heard that anywhere weeks ago. But I can name a couple of guys here on the new KHDK app that saw that one coming. And now it creates scenarios, right? We got to wait a whole nother day. This is why I think the 4-team playoff is absolutely fantastic. Because these are playoff games. The
last couple of weeks.
The rivalry week. Playoff game. Championship, conference championships coming up this week. Those are all playoff games. What's going to happen with Bama? What's going to happen if Ohio State beats Wisconsin? What's going to, if TCU somehow beats Oklahoma, they're out. What happens if Oklahoma beats TCU? Then what do you do?
Right.
Miami going to beat Clemson. What happens now? Oh, there's just so much fun stuff, and we won't really have an idea what the committee is thinking. I'm really curious if Alabama, I'm so curious if they're 4 or 5 with the belief that one of those teams in front of them is going to fall out. Right, I'm wondering if that's what they do, or they position them at 4 without the ability to move up. So we'll get into all of that at 1 o'clock, and we'll do our best to recap the entire weekend in the NFL. What week did we just finish? Was it 12?
Yes.
Yikes. It's almost over.
Yeah, sprint to the finish. 5 weeks left, right?
You mentioned the Laker game. I was bummed I missed that. I was watching that while out on vacation. I was super bummed when I saw Doris was doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that would have been fantastic. We would have had Doris on.
Yeah.
But good win for the Kings. They weren't able to get the L.A. double, though. One bad quarter, man. One bad quarter. And we'll get to them at about 12:45. If you want to jump in here, a number of you already have. We greatly appreciate it here on the text line at 44-1140. You can get with us here on the phone lines as well, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Your Raiders and Broncos went at it yesterday.
Literally.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
Two chains. That's the joke. He ripped his chain off again.
He did.
And that leads me to believe Crabtree purposely put it on with the belief that if he takes my chain again, I'm going to beat his ass.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. First of all, why are you punching a guy with a helmet? Like, I'll never understand that.
Especially while yours is off.
Well, his kind of guy, he got lost in the scuffle for me, and then he came out, he didn't have his helmet on, they continued to go at it. I thought, dude, did you throw your helmet off and go fight him? It actually got ripped off during that big melee. That was, 2 minutes into the game? Mm-hmm. Doug Christie would be proud of that.
Yes.
Like, that was 2 minutes into the game. We're wasting no time. You're coming at me for something that happened last year? Let's go, fella. Let's get at it.
Why is he ripping his chain, though? Come on, Aqib Talib. And again, kind of you said, why is he putting the chain back up? But that's what he wears it, right?
Well, that's the other thing. I don't know if I brought that up last year.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I'll never understand what it's like to be a wide receiver or an athlete for that matter. But why are you rocking? Like, is there some sentimental value? Like, why are you rocking the gold?
My grandmama's chain.
Like, the internet killed it.
Of course, that's when the internet wins.
The internet killed it last night with videos of that. And now Crabtree looks like a sucker because he's gotten his chain yanked off twice by the same guy on a rivalry team.
That makes him look bad.
Yeah.
Well, he went after him, though.
Yeah, but I don't feel like he got him, though. He tried. I don't feel like he really, really got him.
Like, but do you think, like, Tlaib won in this?
He was surrounded by, like, seven Broncos,
He
too.
Was.
Where
and it was kind of like, I want to fight, but I kind of don't want to fight.
Well, the second – there's a clip. There's a certain angle of when they're going at it the second time. All of the players are around the officials trying to sort out what happened. But Crabtree's going back at Tlaib to get some more. Like, he's ready to go. And then he gets engulfed.
It's like he's in a Broncos huddle.
He gets engulfed by Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And then, you know, here comes Marshawn Lynch, who's been the peacemaker all year, of course.
Somehow, yeah.
Because why not?
Right.
He comes in to save the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, did Crabtree punch Chris Harris? It looked like he did. I don't know if it was the play before or it was 2 minutes into the game. It couldn't have been that much earlier. But it looked like he kind of was going for the tussle, being physical.
Right.
And he threw his arm up and kind of went, I'm going to give him a second reference. He went Doug Christie in the preseason and threw an uppercut there.
All I was thinking, it was very early in the game, obviously, as we said. But as that game went on, I'm like, you know what? It's so glad Paxton Lynch didn't get involved in any of this because he was a hot mess.
Oh, he was.
He was.
First of all, his Movember. December can't come quick enough for that guy. Because he looks terrible.
Yeah.
And I do feel for, you know, I feel bad when I see athletes, you know, get emotional like he did.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for him because he probably knows I haven't been playing well. I just gave him an excuse to take me out. They're not going to put me back in.
Yeah.
What are we going to do now? Or what am I going to do now?
Right.
Amari Cooper sprained his ankle on the same play. He suffered a concussion. His status for Sunday is unclear. That's according right now that just came across from Adam Schefter at ESPN. That's the other thing with Cooper. I don't think Crabtree is going to get suspended again, but I don't think Crabtree is going to get suspended next week, especially since he missed the entire game yesterday. But Derek Carr may have to go out there without Cooper or Crabtree.
And that's brutal because
it is, but it could be liberating for Derek Carr to a certain degree. Derek Carr wasn't really spectacular yesterday, though he didn't have to be.
He was efficient, though.
He was. But there's a certain, I got to get Coop the ball.
Yeah.
That shot Coop took was nasty.
It was.
That was
legit. I mean, they're all legit, but that you could understand why he may have been hurt on that play.
There was some bad ones. I watched a lot. We were watching football together, as I'm sure most of you were on Thursday, and I'm watching with my sister, and my sister kept going, God, someone else is hurt. A couple of minutes later, who's hurt now? Wait, is that the same guy? Is someone? And she's like, why are they still playing this game? Guys are getting hurt like on such a regular basis, and then to see that Cooper shot, I was like, and that's one of those ones where you freeze. It's like, oh, no, that's bad. And we'll talk about the shot C.J. Beathard took. I'm still confused as to what happened to him. I didn't know. Was his a head? Was it a knee? Like, because he got drilled and he fell back pretty hard. And I thought it was, like, I thought they were evaluating his head.
That's what I thought, too.
But the announcers were talking about, it was a legal hit. It was around the knees. Like, he's totally safe there. Then he comes limping off. Now, sometimes when your head's not right, you just limp around. And so I can understand that to a certain degree, but I just never got like totally clear what C.J. Beathard was having happen to him, because part of that was Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, picks up a first down, throws two passes, completes them both, throws a touchdown pass. I'm sure many of those classless 49er fans from the game yesterday when C.J. Beathard went out couldn't have been happier in a loss to the Seattle Seahawks after watching what Jimmy Garoppolo did. And even I was rooting for them, not necessarily rooting for them, I was rooting for let him throw the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, don't just come in here and down it. Don't just come in and take a knee. Don't just give him a chance to throw the ball, because if he scores a touchdown, you're going to give that however many people are still left there, they're going to go home happy, because they're going to think that they just saw their future. I was, you know, Kyle Madsen, 49er fan, was tweeting about, hey, don't at me if your quarterback didn't throw a meaningless garbage touchdown pass and you're not super excited.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they were so, but I understood. Like, it's like, this makes total sense. You should be happy, because that might be a glimpse into what's coming ahead.
I was bummed on Wednesday when it was announced by the 49ers that Garoppolo would not start, that it was Beathard. And no offense to Beathard, but I maintain they have traded him to see if he's going to be the future. He has started less games than Beathard. We think he'll be good. We don't know. And I want to see him play. I want to see him get reps. I think it was worth it after the bye. He's been there a couple weeks. But they said they were going to wait, and, you know, I guess I will believe what they know about this, but it just seems like he should be playing to me.
I think if Jimmy's not playing this week, maybe the NFL has to make a call. Like, if you're not playing Jimmy Garoppolo this week, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
what is the reason for not playing him?
And some have suggested, well, the first one you hear is, it's a very complex playbook. Okay.
29 days.
Yeah. I mean, it's
roughly.
Exactly. Been plenty of time. Where Beathard, how much time did he really have? He wasn't working with the number ones. It was other guys ahead of him, and then he gets thrown into the fire. And now here is the other situation as well. The offensive line's a little shaky. We're trying to protect our quarterback. Well, he can get hit at any time on any play, anywhere. Yeah, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but you can't play that way.
I do understand that line of thinking, and our offensive line is really bad, and we do believe we're going to gift wrap this guy $25, $26, $27 million next year, and he's going to be the next guy in succession of the Montanas and Youngs. We expect him to be the Garoppolo that gets us, or the, you know, combo of Smith and Kaepernick that got him to the Super Bowl, but he's going to be the guy that wins it for
us. Yeah.
By the way, Alex Smith, you hate him again, don't you?
Now I'm supporting him. He needs some love.
Yeah, we'll try to cover the whole NFL. Just got so much running through our brains right now. But if you're the 49ers, you don't play Jimmy Garoppolo. Not Roger Goodell, but someone in, hey, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah, but what could the NFL do
about that? I don't think
they
can do anything. Yeah. But the fact is, there is, I'm sure, a segment of the population who's going to use that T word that has just manifested itself in all of sports.
Yeah.
People said, well, the Astros tanked. Look what they did. Philadelphia tanked. They got two bona fide superstars. Okay. Is that what the 49ers are doing by not playing Jimmy Garoppolo? He comes in there, throws two passes in three plays, gets a touchdown. This was a garbage touchdown against a defense that just desperately wanted to get off the field. They lost Cam Chancellor for the season.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get out of there more than anything. And but still, you watch it and you go, oh, okay, I get it. I mean, he's completed, I think I saw a stat today, he's completed 68, he's thrown 96 career passes. He's completed 68% of those, six touchdowns, and zero interceptions. That's the very brief career of Jimmy G.
That's it, the very brief. We think he's going to be good. We don't know. And if there people are speculating that they're trying to lose to get a better draft pick, there's a lot of talk that maybe four quarterbacks go in the top 10. That's not what they need.
No.
So what do you, unless you want to trade your spot like they did a year ago and get a little bit more.
But do they have an idea of what they want? Like, that's right. My question. Or that.
Rack
you
up.
Trade the spot.
Yeah, that's what I would do if
you
I'm
get
there.
Out of the number one spot and you give it to someone. Carson Wentz is going to win the MVP this year. And you look at
and those Goff guys, would be
and
close.
I was going to say, you look at Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and how those teams moved up to get their guys in the price that was paid to get them. The 49ers got to be thinking, okay, well, how bad do you want this quarterback,
right.
This quarterback, that quarterback? How bad do you want them? Because right now they're sitting two-ish, three-ish. I mean, they're going to be around there. They're going to have their pick of the litter, so to speak.
Yeah, Cleveland's ruined a good thing for them, right? And the Browns keep losing. Otherwise, the Niners could be closer to the top as far as worst record.
Amy Trask had a great tweet yesterday. It said the only trade the Browns should make is with the Ravens for Ozzie Newsome. Because your front office is continuing to destroy. And she said that on this show a million times. You can have all the draft picks you want, but if your front office doesn't know what to do with them,
doesn't matter.
You're just going to be drafting quarterbacks year after year after year, and we're looking at this, another year where the Cleveland Browns are going to draft a quarterback very, very high in the draft, and they're going to be 4 or 5 years away from being even remotely relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh Jackson's going to be fired. Now, who's going to want that job? Who wants that Cleveland job?
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing. When you're a sought-after coordinator, you kind of have your you can pick. Like Sean McVay. Sean McVay was a sought-after coordinator. He could pick. He saw some. Oh, I like this one. You know, who's going to go, I'm going to Cleveland?
Right.
Like, that's the bottom of the interview candidates.
And everybody – and I know Hugh Jackson thought he could make a difference. Of course he did. Of course he thought he could turn them around. He had a good resume as a coordinator, a decent one as a head coach with the Raiders. Not overwhelming, but decent. And he's thinking, yeah, think about that. If I get this team to the playoffs, think about how I'll be perceived. Instead, he's seen one win.
I really thought that he would do just fine.
I did too.
I don't think they're winning a game this year. I didn't think that coming into the year because it's so hard. We've done this a million times on the show. It's so hard to go undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to go winless. It's equally as hard. You're going. I thought yesterday might be the day that they were going to stumble upon a win, but they couldn't.
Right.
And now you just watch them and you see the body language and the press. They all look defeated. The 49ers, you know, we said this even leading into the Giants game. I think we had the Giants winning. We had the 49ers beating the Giants that day. They don't look like a team that's not winning.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't conducting themselves that way. Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns are conducting themselves like a team that is the laughingstock of probably all of major sports.
Yeah, and I feel like it's probably years, and not all of them have been there that time, but just the community, the fan base, just feeling like years upon years upon years of this has happened to them. Where the Niners
can't relate.
Yeah.
Can't relate. Don't know what you're talking about.
The Niners haven't been in it that long, and it's long enough for them what they've gone through the last 2 years, but they kind of see a light at the end of the tunnel, and certainly they're aggressive in this trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, and you feel like another good draft, and maybe they'll start the climb.
Text line rolling along here. A lot of jokes about Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree. Why are 49er fans excited about a guy who has less starts than C.J. Beathard? Because he was a Patriot? Is that it?
Part of it.
I think that's part of it. There is a certain mystique of, even though I feel like that's been debunked over the years. But, no, I think there is. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo was a second-round pick who was taken by Bill Belichick. So that right there alone is like, okay, this was 3 years ago? You have – Tom's not going anywhere. We knew that 3 years ago. Tom might be around three more years. But Belichick still took him in the second round. So that right there is an evaluation. Like, okay, he's getting the stamp of approval from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think when you're coming out of a certain organization, I don't think it's any different than Spurs. You know, like think back to Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah.
Coming from San Antonio. So many people expected so much from him because they saw him play a certain way in San Antonio. He came here and was asked to do something totally different. It didn't work out. I imagine part of the struggle with Kyle Shanahan is we have to put him, Jimmy Garoppolo, in a position to do what he does best. And this isn't just about Jimmy Garoppolo learning the San Francisco 49ers. This is probably the 49ers learning Jimmy Garoppolo as well. But by the time next Sunday rolls around, it'll have been about a month.
Which is, to me, long enough.
Play him.
Yeah.
And the fact is, Jason, no matter what happens over the course of the final, you know, 5 weeks of the season, I think everybody assumes this, they're going to at least attempt to sign Jimmy Garoppolo to a max contract.
They better. Or
not a max contract. They're going to attempt to sign him to a big
contract. Then why do you do that if you didn't? If you didn't do it for that and you nurse him along here, that was a complete waste.
But my point is, even if he's bad, they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
We'll come back. There's plenty more of the NFL to get into. The Saints 8-game win streak came to an end, man. There's some really good football playing in L.A. It's a shame not more fans are around to see it. Plus, we'll talk Kings in the next 30 minutes here on The Lowdown. Little 2 Chainz reference there from producer Chris Verlade. Don't you troll him now? Like, don't you every time the Raiders come to town, you're rocking some sort of 2 Chainz song if you're in Denver?
Yeah.
I love the – first of all, my irrational love for the Philadelphia Eagles is continuing to get stronger. Watching the running backs dance to Cardi B before the game, and then all of their the electric slide, like everything
great.
They're doing. The only thing I ask is, don't go all Cam Newton when you lose.
Yeah.
Now I only think they're going to lose one more game this year. I don't know when that's going to be, but don't go all Cam Newton when you lose. Like, stay fun, stay loose, keep doing this whole thing because it is. Even for Cowboys fans, I won't speak for Cowboys fans. I'll speak for myself. It's fun to watch.
Who was the – oh, it didn't count. That's right. Pac-Man Jones when he had that punt return, delivered the baby, delivered the football.
Was that the Lion King or the there were a couple of, like, weird celebrations yesterday that one was delivering the football delivering the baby. One was, like, the Lion – yum, no!
Yeah.
One was that. And maybe we're right on the cusp of this is still fun for us.
Yeah,
I feel like I was
watching.
Yeah, I was watching a few gentleman a little older than us. Uh-huh. Oh, this is getting out of hand. This is just too much. They need to.
Stop watching. Get off my lawn.
Boycott celebrations.
Yeah.
Hashtag boycott celebrations.
They're not all going to be hits, but
no,
I like them. But I think 80 to 90% have been pretty good.
Listening to, was it Doug Peterson? I think Doug Peterson was like, it's really helped them because it's like a certain level of, like, they're coordinating. Like, they're not going out there and say, hey, guys, let's do the electric slide. Like, they're coordinating these after practice. And Doug Peterson described it as, like, there's a certain bonding that goes on because it's fun. Like, it's not tedious. It's not routes. It's not block schemes. It's not shift here, move here. It's not snap counts. It's none of that. It's the fun part of football, which, you know, the NFL, no fun league, had taken out for so long that I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah, the bonding part makes sense. It's like, hey, I got an idea. How do we do it? Okay, and I think you could picture guys looking forward to that. And who was it on? Yeah, was it the Vikings on Thanksgiving?
The turkey dinner?
That was good.
Yeah.
It was like they're all around the table.
Yeah,
I'm like, all right.
Great.
I laughed.
It was great.
Yeah.
By the way, the Vikings.
Yeah.
They're 7-2.
Case Keenum.
God bless. I'll get a Case Keenum jersey. He's doing so damn
Watch
well.
It.
I'll tuck it in, too.
I don't even watch. Yes.
I'll tuck it in. He's doing, I mean, let's start with the Saints. We had mentioned the Saints. If you're just tuning in, download the new KHDK app and listen to us anywhere you go. There is an app for the lowdown now. Just download it. Whatever your phone may be, KHDK is in the app store. You can download us and listen to us everywhere you go. And if you wouldn't mind, I know I always ask this of you. Rate and review, because you don't even have to review it. Just rate it. When you download
it, stars.
Yeah, give us some stars there, and it helps with algorithms, stuff I don't understand and don't know about, but I know that it makes the web people very happy. There's some good football being played in Los Angeles, and the Rams scored a touchdown yesterday, and I was watching it like they're not doing a crowd shot. I wonder if anyone's there. And you get the behind the quarterback view, and it's like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not full. But you have one of the most exciting teams in the league playing there. I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion. We're going to talk about the mess that the AFC West is. I don't think we need to mention this, but I know we were talking about 2 Chainz and fights and Derek, we didn't mention the Raiders won. I'm sure everybody knows that by now, but the Raiders were able to beat the Broncos. The Broncos lost for the 7th time, which I find so fitting given their general manager and how overrated I'm beginning to think that he is. But we're going to talk about the mess that the AFC West is. And, here we are, you know, where by the end of next week, the San Diego Chargers could be tied. Excuse me. The north of San Diego Chargers could be tied for first place in the AFC West, just like we all thought 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But there's good football being played there. And the Rams, I mean, this was really, in terms of records, this was the marquee matchup of the week, the Saints and the Rams. And it delivered. And part of me thought, even with the Saints trailing, I was like, it's Drew Brees back there.
Yep.
You're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that game, too. And you know, the Rams were in this stretch of, I think it's 4 or 5 games where you had the Vikings and then the Saints. So they split those. I think they've got the Cardinals this week. And then they still have the Eagles and the Seahawks. So their next 4 out of the 5 are going to be tough. But yesterday, what they did a great job of keeping the ball out of the hands of the Saints. It just New Orleans, I felt like they never had the ball. New Orleans still wants to be that run team, which they become very good at. And then they got themselves down 2 scores, so they had to throw. And I felt like if that game had 5 more minutes in it, maybe the Saints win.
Yeah.
But credit the Rams for keeping the ball out of their hands. Getting a lead, protecting the lead, and finding a way to win.
And the points that they got, they made them work for it.
Yes, they did.
Like, it wasn't the Drew Brees drives that you're used to seeing where he's going to march down the field basically at his will. He was able to get them down the field, but the Rams provided a whole lot of resistance in terms of just taking away precious seconds off of that clock, and that's how they were able to win. You mentioned if it was just a smidge bit longer, maybe they do win.
Yeah.
Maybe Drew Brees is able to do that. But also, on this, you know, other side of the coin, if it's just a smidge bit longer, maybe Jared Goff leads them down for another score.
True.
Puts them back up 2 scores.
Yeah, he's just been so steady. I mean, he really has, and his improvement has been remarkable. And, you know, they're legit. Obviously, both teams are. But 8-3 for the Rams, they've got to feel good. I know Seattle's still trying to do some damage there, but Rams have to feel really, really good about themselves.
Alvin Kamara is approaching Le'Veon Bell in terms of sexy status of a running back and the way he moves on the field. It's he is. I don't know what the Trey Wingo was using the word silky earlier. It's like maybe that's it. Like, because when we talk about Le'Veon Bell, which we've done a number of times, we use the word patience, graceful, and he's very methodical with his movements. Alvin Kamara never looks like he's struggling.
Right.
Even when he's jumping over defenders, it doesn't. He doesn't in stride. It doesn't look like anything's hard for him. Which is why I think I'm sure having Drew Brees back there doesn't help, and tandem up with Mark Ingram as well helps. He can catch so effectively out of the backfield. Like, he had more yards receiving out of the backfield than he did running yesterday, and he was great in both. I'm sure there's a defensive player I'm missing. Is there an offensive defensive rookie of the year? Because Alvin Kamara right now is rookie of the year in my mind.
Which is funny because 3-4 weeks ago, it was like there's no contest. It's Hunt from the – it's not even close. But he is, along with the Chiefs, he's plummeted. And
what year was it that the Chiefs started 5-0? How many years ago was that?
Yeah.
Because it –
feels a long time ago, huh?
It feels like it was three or four years ago.
It does. Best team in football, untouchable. Alex Smith, MVP. Ugh. Here they are. Look at this offense. Andy Reid's got them going. And now, I mean.
Hot take cannon guy was really confident that
yes.
day. He was firing them off.
I mean, I really wasn't that worried about them until they lost a week ago to the Giants. That one I went, okay, something's wrong.
I had them out of the playoffs before the year started when we did our 4-in and 4-out. And 5 weeks in, you look like the biggest idiot ever.
They look like Super Bowl champs.
You have no idea what you're talking about. You're a putz. And then here we are, you know, 6 weeks later, like, oh,
what
team is this?
Yeah.
Like, who? Lewis Reddick. It's time to dust off, to take the cover off the Ferrari, bring Patrick Mahomes out. And it's like, oh.
Now they're still in first. They're still in first.
Really? We're going to do that? It's like, we were having a conversation before we came back on about the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And Sean McDermott. Oh, I'm going with Tyrod Taylor this week, but I don't know what the season holds.
I do. Don't play Peterman.
I wanted to be on the air with you so badly that Monday after he threw 5 interceptions.
In a half. It was so bad.
It's like, look, I get that you want to keep Tyrod hungry, or I get that you want there to be competitiveness. I get all of that coach speak, so to say. But, dude.
Yeah.
Buffalo will revolt against you if you put that guy back in.
Yeah, and we all knew it, too. It wasn't like that was something that we didn't see coming. It was just... we believed it would happen. Why are they doing it? You might lose your team. I think you did. And then you had your quarterback just embarrass himself, too.
I mentioned Alvin Kamara. Dustin guys off the whole 74 yards. We'll come back. We'll take a break from football. Just a brief one because there's plenty of more NFL stuff to talk about, including we mentioned Minnesota. We got to dig it. Packers, they're still very much in this. And that was the best outing. Brett Hundley went from 0 to 60. Real quick last night. And, you know, who might be quietly the best team in all of the NFL? Spoiler alert, they were the last team to play last night. But we'll talk Kings and that just dreadful third quarter that they had against the Clippers next. Matt Barnes gets his ring tonight. It's a big day for the city of Sacramento.
He's doing that tonight?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Sacramento is home. Team.
Sacktown's finest,
yes indeed.
Okay. I feel like that's trolling a little bit.
Trolling the Kings?
I mean, tiny bit.
Could be.
Yeah. They have other home games. They just played the Bulls. Could have done it then. Any other home game?
Nobody wants to get
Pelicans?
Oh, I see you could have done the Pelicans.
Yeah. Front of DeMarcus and Rondo. There are some ex-Kings there.
There you go.
I don't know.
Three troublemakers. those were in quotes, by the way. Don't at me. Matt Brown. Yeah, no one. Matt Brown.
What's he doing?
Yep, back's just smooth. I am as smooth this first day back as Alvin Kamara was yesterday. Just
silky,
silky smooth. Matt Barnes will get his ring tonight. Steph Curry won't even play, and there's some question if KD and some of the other star level players are going to play as well.
So there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
What were the numbers that you gave out on Twitter today?
Well, it's the number one offense for the Warriors, which averages 117.
Oh, how many times have the Kings scored 117?
In a game?
Yeah.
This year?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't.
Okay.
That's what they're averaging.
Okay.
And the Kings have not hit that number yet. And they're also averaging 30 assists per game, which leads the NBA. Kings have not hit that number once in a game either. Just averages. So the Warriors average a number the Kings haven't even hit yet in 19 games. I mean, that to me just blew me away. Like, you could have your best game. Oh, yeah, Kings scored 130 this night. Okay, great. They hit 34 assists. Great. Nope. Haven't hit either of the numbers the Warriors are averaging.
If we were to be total trolls, there's probably games that you could add together.
I know.
That don't equal 30 Sadly. Assists.
Sadly, yeah.
They play in Golden State tonight. Jay Ross be back pulling double duty tonight with Kings Live at 7 o'clock. Of course, Warriors have that 7:30 tip, and we'll have the action for you here on Sports 1140. Laker game was a little too long ago to talk about, but it's I know Kings fans always kind of relish in those Laker wins, so good there in front of a national television audience there on ESPN. Came back and played the other L.A. team on Saturday and looked really, really good. For two quarters.
Yeah.
Actually, they look good for three quarters. The first, the second, and the fourth. But that third quarter, just they put themselves in a hole they couldn't get out of. Ten points. Second time this year, by the way, they have scored 10 points.
They also had 10 turnovers in the quarter. So same amount of turnovers as points in the
That's
drought.
A bad ratio. I'm not an expert. I'm
usually
not.
Usually we're worried about assist to turnover, not points to turnover. And
that might be a Kings-only stat right there.
Exclusive to the Kings.
Yeah.
It was really mind-boggling because they were playing so well. They had one of their best halves of the year. And what I liked the most to start the third quarter, it's 14. It's the NBA. People can come back from 14. Kings scored the first two baskets to get it to 18. I thought that's exactly what you need to do. I thought they were two or three possessions away from putting the Clippers away. Clippers didn't have a great bench. They didn't seem that into the game. It was that close. Lou Williams saved the day, hit three straight threes. All of a sudden, it's nine. You're like, okay. They're not going away, but that's fine. It's still nine, and then it just – I mean, the run didn't have to be 17-0 and, like, 23-2, and then you're trailing. And they went from 18 up to 10 down, and then Buddy Hield had just the most amazing finish that nearly saved the day, but it just
– Not counting that final shot that he took.
No, that was awful. But he – I mean, you could use him as a decoy, but he was so crazy hot. I mean, he hit seven threes, almost all of them in the fourth.
I understand. I understand. Yeah, I do understand that line of thinking. But why not go to De'Aaron Fox again? You know he can get past the defender. If nothing else, he can hit that classic Sacktown hashtag mid-range city jumper. Like, he could hit it and probably give you a better high-quality look just because of his speed there.
Maybe.
I get the hot hand.
Yeah.
I completely get it. But we did the hot hand with Garrett Temple, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think hot hand and final second situations are entirely different situations.
I guess, but do you really – I know De'Aaron made one, which is important more than just about anyone else. I don't know if this team has that guy.
I don't think they do.
You go to DeMarcus. You go to whoever, you know.
I don't think that you do.
Yeah.
And I think in the situation of Garrett, you know, the Phoenix game, I think it was, I think that was the right play call.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad shot. He
just missed
barely
it.
Off target.
Yeah. This was a bad shot.
This was a bad shot. This didn't look good. I feel like with De'Aaron Fox getting that final play, it's just a higher percentage.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a higher percentage. Now, again,
he hasn't shot the ball that well, though.
A play run in the middle of the fourth quarter or the middle of the first quarter is not going to be run exactly the same as a play run with, you know, I think it was less than 3 seconds left, clock ticking. Well, you're thinking about giving yourself a chance.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to shoot the ball. If there's, you know, 2.5 seconds left, you're going to shoot it probably with a second left just to make sure that you got it off in time. And I just feel like with a player like De'Aaron Fox, as quick as he is, you probably could have gotten free throw line extended. No, he hasn't shot well, but
yeah,
he's put you in those moments where you could do it. Again, this is in hindsight. And I
understand
because of how bad Buddy's shot was there to close out the game. And let's not ignore how great Blake was there on the other side, you know, hitting that kind of fallback floater that he hit.
Yeah. But he left him three. There was enough time to do something in the half court with 3.2. And you know, you get the switch out. They're all on Buddy. And then he gets the switch out, and it's basically a guy and DeAndre Jordan on him. And it just – he had to shoot it left-handed. It went over the back. I mean, it was ugly. But as much as we can look at the last – it's all the third quarter. The third quarter – that game shouldn't have been in question the way they played. That to me – hey, the team has plenty of losses. That was a bad one. That means a home court loss when you're up 18 in the second half to a team that's, you know, without two point guards.
Patrick Beverley out for the
year. Yeah, that team, again, their bench is not strong. And I felt like that's a bad loss as far as, you know, the Kings aren't going anywhere this year as far as a win total. But you'll have some good wins, And you have some bad losses. This one was bad. Not in the discrepancy of how they lost, but just the way they were playing, and they blew a game that they really should win. And had they won, now all of a sudden, I think it would have been 5 of 6 at home. That's what you start building upon. And it's not taking them anywhere, but it's, all right, they're figuring out home court. Now you take the more difficult challenge trying to figure out the road.
I think with the Kings as well, you also have to – you talk about good wins or bad losses or whatever the case may be. And for them, the way that they've played this year, when they're in a game late, you desperately want them to win because you know that there's a possibility that they're going to come out and be down 20 points before you start the second quarter in the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen that kind of Heckle and Jekyll behavior from them throughout these 19 games so far. So when you're in a position to win late, you're just dying as a king. Please get this one.
Right.
Please get this one, because the chances that we lose by, you know, 20 and then 17 the night, like, we're in position to win this game. Get that final play called up right.
Yeah, got to find a way. And it's too bad. It would have been a good homestand to go 2-1. Instead, it was 1-2. They play the road tonight, back at home tomorrow for the Greek Freak, and then again, another road trip coming up.
Yeah, Greek Freak here Tuesday, you said, and then they don't play again until Saturday?
Friday, Saturday on the road, yeah.
Chicago,
Milwaukee again.
Okay.
And then they actually are coming home, even though they play Cleveland in Cleveland Wednesday. That's where the league is spread games out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of staying in Cleveland, I think he'll be back here late Saturday night, be here Sunday, Monday, probably travel back Tuesday, play Cleveland and New Orleans. So it's a 4-game trip, but they're coming home in midway through.
One thing that's really difficult in talking about the Sacramento Kings is you feel like when we go to recap these games, now we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about this. This game was 2 days ago. They play the Warriors tonight. We'll have plenty to talk about with them tomorrow. But I feel like we're just saying the same things over and over again because they keep having quarters like that. We keep having the same conversation. It's just a question of, is it isolated to a quarter? Is it isolated to a half? Or is it like, you know, the Atlanta game where it's four quarters of shoot me in the face so I don't have to sit through this anymore?
Yeah.
Because this is awful.
Yeah, and this one to me was the first one in a while that I felt like happened at home. I know they've had some, you know, 18, 17, 19-point quarters, but that 10-point quarter was a struggle just to get 10. As I mentioned, they scored the first 4 points right away in the quarter. So the rest of the quarter, there was a point where they were shooting about, I think it was in the teens or 20% for the quarter with all those turnovers. It was just... I mean, just self-destruction is what it became.
And I don't know that they've had a solid – I mean, they've had a few that's not true. They've had a few four-quarter games.
I think the Laker game was that.
Yeah, and there you go. That's a good example. The Lakers are in the, you know, same position, which is why listening to the Lakers get covered, like, you guys are the same as the Sacramento Kings. You guys are still – you have a sexier head coach, and you have a rookie who's – for whatever reason, gets a lot of attention. And you're the Lakers.
Yeah.
But you're in the same boat the Sacramento Kings
are.
And that's really what that game boiled down to. That game can happen. It's going to happen several more times this year. Outcome will probably go the other way once. Go back to the Kings' favor another time.
Probably a 2-2 series, probably.
Yeah, that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Jay Ross and I will come back. Hour number two of the Lowdown coming up. We'll get back into college football. Jason, not nearly excited. As excited about the Chip Kelly to UCLA hire as I thought it would be. We'll talk about Tennessee. What does Auburn beat Bama mean? Miami lost this weekend. Notre Dame lost again. Stanford won. What does all of this mean heading into the college football playoff rankings tomorrow night? We'll touch on that as we continue here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140.